Father, we thank you that you can be so close to us. Thank you, Lord, that even as we go into battles, that we know that you go before us. Thank you that we are never alone. So, Lord, this morning, we just want to declare that we need you more than we need water. We need you more than the breath that we take this morning. You are our all. You are everything to us, Jesus. So as we go into just your word, Lord, I pray that you will open our eyes, open our ears to hear what your spirit wants to say this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you strengthen our hearts, strengthen feeble knees and shaky hands. Lord, come this morning and strengthen your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, band. Thank you for joining us this morning. I know it's holiday and a lot of people are away, but I really truly believe that God's got something for you this morning. And what he's done through worship, I know that he's just going to carry on with that and build on with that this morning. So, I really want to encourage you to sit with an open heart and say, Lord, speak to me this morning. Speak to me, open my heart, open my ears, that I can hear what your spirit wants to say to me this morning. So, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Quibus had a sermon on renew. So, I want to just pick up from there this morning. All right, so renew. I want to maybe do a little bit of a new perspective. I want us to renew our perspective. And what has happened this morning in worship just flows in so beautifully with what I want to say. And I trust that this will encourage you and that you will get that perspective that you need at this time. So the title of my sermon this morning is Renew, the Things That Remain. And I don't know if you were here with Quibus' sermon. There was a picture of two cars. It was an old car that was completely stripped to be renewed. And then there was the brand new car or the renewed car that as a result of that. But if you think about that, just that image, you have to start with a stripping away before you can actually start with the building up. And what really struck me is if you read that verse in Isaiah 40, verse 31, where it says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Now, that renew is not in the form of you've been renewed, finished, past tense. It's actually a verb. You will renew your strength. And you can actually go and read that. I don't want to go there this morning, but I just this morning as I prepared, I realized this is actually, it's talking about a process rather than a past event. And we already said that this whole waiting is not done. It's not as if we wait and then renew. It's not a linear process. It's sort of the wait happens all the time, and then the renew happens all the time. So you can't have the renew without the waiting. Okay, so that's sort of where we are at. And when you look at the renewal process, if you take anything that you want to renew, whether that's that old car or a piece of furniture that you want to renew, there's old stuff that needs to come off before you can put new stuff on. So if you try to paint new paint over old paint, it's not going to last. You have to take the old one off first. And this is sort of where we start with the renew. But there's something special about that, and that is the stuff that remains. So we're not focused on the stuff that is removed, the stuff that's been stripped off. We are focusing on what remains. What are the important things that needs to stay? So at the world at the moment, I'm sure you'll agree with me if you follow the news and you know what's happening. It's the world is shaking at the moment. The world is really not a stable place. There's lots of stuff going on between wars and economy and governments, and everything is causing uncertainty. And that, that on or off, yeah. But the thing is, all of these things, if you look at it and you read the news and you get into it, it can cause your heart to become fearful. Because everything is uncertain. And for us as human beings, we don't like uncertainty. We like to be secure and safe. And what the world offers at the moment is not that. It's not secure, it's not safe, it's shaky, it's unstable, it's uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen with the dollar tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen with the economy tomorrow. We don't even know what weird decision the government's going to make tomorrow and how it will affect our lives coming. So the question is then, how do we respond to the situation in the world at large? But more than the world, I want you to have a parallel this morning. I want you to look at the bigger picture, what's happening in the world, and as an analogy of that, look at your own life. So maybe there's stuff in your own life that is causing a shaking. There's uncertainty, there's things that happened that is really shaking your world at the moment. So I want you to look with two views this morning. And my question is, how do we respond to that? Does your heart fear like the rest of the world? Do you panic? Are you anxious? Or does it look different for you? That even while the shaking is going on, there is a solid anchor that keeps you steady. What does your life reflect in the shaking, whether it's your own personal shaking or whether it's a shaking that's going on in the world? How do we respond? And I've got a few scriptures here this morning that I trust will encourage you and maybe lift that spirit. And my prayer is really that we will walk out to not be a fearful and anxious people, but that we'll be a people of faith when we see what remains. Amen. After the shaking. Haggai 2 verse 6 to 7, it says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill the house with glory, says the Lord of hosts." So looking at that verse, we can see that when there's a shaking, there's a reason for the shaking, because we are trying to be renewed. Nah? So the shaking has a purpose. And in this verse, it says, I will shake all nations so that. And then it says that the treasures of the nation shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory. And this is where our focus is going to be, is how do we reflect the glory? How do we allow the glory of God to come in a time of shaking and uncertainty, and how do we reflect that? So this has happened. This is not the first time it happens. It's not the last time it's going to happen. But we see this, the first time I think was in Noah's days. That was a good shaking. But also in the time of Moses, when they were in Egypt, there was a specific shaking there that I just want to pause at, and that is with the 10 plagues that was brought upon Egypt. And the reason for that 10 plagues was actually to shake and remove or dethrone the gods of Egypt at that time. So when God does the shaking in Egypt in the time of the 10 plagues, before the Israelites were allowed to move out, God could have, in one blow, released Israel. I am confident of that. The word actually says that he hardened Pharaoh's heart to make him say no every time. Why did he do that? Because he was busy with a shaking, and he was revealing what is fake and what is unshakable. Okay? So he wants to reveal things that are fake, and he wants to expose and cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That phrase, it just comes from 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. To cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So I want you to remember that. What things are there at this stage in the world where people make it higher than the knowledge of God? They make it their God. They make it their idol. Or maybe something in my life that I have exalted above the knowledge of God. Okay, so keep that sort of in the back of your head. So there's a slide. I'm not going to go into detail. I just wanted to show you that for every single plague in Egypt, there was a specific god or one or two or three gods that was actually targeted through that specific plague. So with the Nile, there was a god of the Nile. There was a god, one of their idols that had a head of a frog, and that's why they had the frogs. And the gnats and the flies, there was a specific god of them that was the god of the desert that was represented by a fly. Death of the livestock, there was a bull god. Boils, there was gods that was over disease and pestilence and healing. The hail, because they had gods for sky and gods for crops. Locusts, again, god for crops. The darkness, they had a sun god that they were worshipping. So it was very specifically targeted. And then the last one on the 10th plague, it says the firstborn. And the firstborn of Pharaoh was seen as a god in Egypt. And God comes and he shakes each one of those to reveal that they are powerless. So in our world that we live now, in the world that we live in general, but maybe also your own life, remember the twofold focus here, there's some idols that needs to be shaken. There's some stuff in our lives that sometimes needs to be shaken, and there's definitely idols in the world that needs to be shaken. Stuff that people has put their trust in. So in years past, people would trust the government. It no longer is the case. People no longer trust the government. There's corruption is rife. Government makes really awkward decisions that affects people's lives. And we just see that there's the riots and stuff that show that people do not trust the government anymore. Then you've got the money system at the moment. The economy is completely upside down at the moment. So people cannot even trust the economy anymore. They can't trust their investments anymore. They can't trust the economic system because it is unstable. So the gold price at the moment is like record heights because people are trying to find something else that they can hold on to that's more stable than their money system. Science and medicine. You've got pandemic and diseases that they just cannot, that they cannot resolve. They cannot stop it and they cannot cure it. In fact, our last pandemic is most likely caused by science. So you've got science that cannot give you the answers that you need. So you cannot trust science and medicine. Technology is a big one, which was meant to improve our lives and connect us with one another, has now proven to cause depression and mental illness and addiction. So technology comes in and it, hackers and digital crime threatens your digital security even. So we think our stuff is secure, but it's not. Knowledge. The years and years people have studied to make them masters in their field and experts in their fields, and yet they no longer have the answers to the world's problems. Even more than that, we have AI coming in that is actually threatening job security of really sought after jobs. And then what is your knowledge worth then? So we sit with all this uncertainty and we think, where do we turn to? Where do I turn to when there's no answers and nobody that I can trust, nothing that I can put my trust in? And this is the good news of the gospel. And this is why we have a missions week, because there's people out there that needs the answer. And we've got the answer. Let's look at Hebrews 12, verse 26 to 29. This is the New Living Translation. It says, when God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, but now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. I'm shaking it so that only unshakable things will remain. Verse 28, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by praising him with holy fear and awe, for God is a devouring fire. So here we see the answer in Hebrews. It says, I'm shaking everything to show what's unshakable. But you know what is unshakable? The kingdom that we've received is unshakable. Amen. That's the unshakable thing. That's the thing that doesn't change. That's always been the same through ages and ages, and it will also still be the same in ages to come. So when the world is shaking, we know that we belong to a kingdom that's unshakable. When others don't know what is true anymore, we know the truth. Amen. And the truth was and is and will always be unchanging. The truth is Jesus. When idols are exposed and people don't know who they can trust anymore, we know who we can trust. Amen. We know who's greater than all of this. That is the unshakable kingdom. And that is the kingdom that we are part of. But when things happen in your life and your world is shaken, and the things that you have put your trust in, whether it is your job, your money, your health, your wisdom, your career, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is that you have sort of put your trust in, if those stuff starts to shake, what will remain? And that is what's important. It's not the stuff that has been shaken away. It's the stuff that remains. So let's have a look at that. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 18 to 19 as well, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. I'm just going to stop there. Just think about this just for a moment. The sufferings that we endure at the present time is not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. In your time of shaking, what is it that God is going to break open for you to see the things that you were maybe holding onto that is false, that's shaken away, and what are the stuff that's actually really true? Verse 19, for creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. So even in the world we are now, as the shaking happens and things start to become really uncertain, unsettled, confusing, the whole creation, they don't know it, but they're looking for an answer. They are looking for something that they can say, yes, I can put my trust in this, and they are waiting for the revealing of the sons of God and the daughters of God. Because we carry God's glory, and the glory of God will be shown through us to the world. So God shakes things that man put their trust in. And that's so that the everlasting things will stand and God's glory can be revealed. Okay, so how do we respond to that? So what do we do? The shaking doesn't go away. It's still not nice. There's still uncertainty. So what do I do if I find myself in this situation? Or if I look at the world and I'm like, where are we going? Isaiah 28, verse 16, this is in the Amplified Classic Version, it says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He who believes, he who trusts in, relies on, and adheres to that stone will not be ashamed or give way or hasten away in sudden panic." If you are anxious, if you are getting panicky, if you are fearful, look at your foundation that you stand on. Jesus is our foundation. He is our tested stone. He's been tested through times. There's many testimonies, many witnesses that will come and say, Jesus is the sure foundation. He's tested. He's precious. Because it's not just a foundation, it's actually a person that cares deeply for you, that loves you more than anything on this earth. It is a sure foundation. It's not a foundation that will be shaken at all. So we don't have to panic. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to be fearful. You just need to remember your foundation. Amen. This morning we sang Psalm 46, and I actually had it as one of my scriptures, so I want to read this to you. Some of the verses, 1 to 5, and I think 10 to 11. So it says, "God is our refuge and our strength, mighty and impenetrable to temptation, a very present and well-proved help in trouble." See, there's the tested foundation. "Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains be shaken into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling and tumult." Selah. "There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High." So we sit with two pictures. The first one is the earth is shaking, the mountains are trembling, and it's melting into the sea. And then he says, just think of that. Selah, pause and calmly think of that. And then he says, second picture, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Verse 5, "God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her right early at the dawn of the morning." Just that verse, verse 5, takes you back to the waiting. Back to the waiting. God is in the midst of us. We shall not be moved. Knowing where the river is that makes glad the city of God. The waiting. "The nations raged, the kingdoms started and were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted." And then verse 10, "Let be and be still and know." Again, waiting. "Recognize and understand that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations." See, after the shaking, what is God doing through the shaking? He's revealing that I am the God. "I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, our high tower and our stronghold." So now, Selah. Pause and calmly think of that. Okay. So it's not that we are not part of the shaking. It's not that we're not going to experience the shaking. It's not that we don't see all the turmoil and the chaos that's going on. But we know our foundation is firm, secure, tested. And we've got a place where we can be still and know that God is God in all of this. So we have the answer. Because of our sure, tested, and precious foundation, when everything else shakes, we will not fear. In fact, creation waits for us to be revealed. It's waiting for us to show the glory of God, because we will show the answer to them in the shaking. So don't get anxious. What do? You renew your mind. You renew your mind with God's truth so that you can prove yourself to yourself what is good, pleasing, and acceptable to God. So maybe there's things in your life that you feel there's a shaking, things are unsure, I'm uncertain about tomorrow, I don't know what's going to happen, I don't know what my future looks like, I don't even know what the next 5 minutes looks like. But just know this, that God will shake what is shakable, but what is unshakable will remain. Because only then God's glory will be seen in your life. And only then we can reveal that glory to the people around us. Romans 12 verse 2, you know very well. It says, do not be conformed to this world, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the things which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. So, how do we know what's the things that remain? How do we know what is good and perfect? So we need to go back to the Word of God. We need to start to put our trust in the Word of God to guide us and to give us that sure foundation. One of the things that remains, and we'll get to that last point in a moment, but is love. It says in 1 John 4 verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. There is no fear in love. Do you know how much God loves you? Do you really know how much God loves you? Okay, there's no fear in love. But full-grown love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. So he's basically saying, if you are fearful and anxious when you look at these things are being shaken, you don't understand how much God loves you. You don't understand. And when we start to take up God's word and we start to consume it and meditate on it, then we start to get a better understanding of God's love for us, of His pure and perfect will for us. Okay, so the question, what remains? So when we see the world shaken, we know that Jesus is our firm and sure foundation. When we see our own world shaken, ask God to reveal to you what are the things that are being shaken away, stripped away, so that it can reveal what is unshaken. What things are there that you are putting your trust in and holding on to that God wants to shake away, strip away? Return to that which is unshakable and refuse to put your trust in the things that are trying to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Okay, the knowledge of God you will find in the Word of God. What is trying to exalt itself against who God is? Continue to meditate on God's word so that you can transform your way of thinking so that you can get into a deeper understanding of how much God loves you. Because perfect love drives out all fear. What remains? God's love remains. In fact, I want to end with this scripture, and it's actually, you know the scripture well, it's 1 Corinthians 13 that talks about what is love. And then it ends that chapter with the answer to this whole thing of what remains. And it says, verse 12, for now in this time of imperfection, you agree we are in a time of imperfection, okay? I don't think anybody of us thinks we are living perfectly at the moment. We see in a mirror dimly, a blurred reflection, a riddle, an enigma. So what we see don't make sense. It doesn't make sense. In your own life, as that shaking is happening, as that stripping away happens, it doesn't make sense. We don't see everything. But then, when the time of perfection comes, we will see reality face to face. Now I know in part. We just know in fragments. But then I will know fully. Just as I have been fully known by God. And that thing that says, just as I've been fully known by God, just don't just read over that. That just really speaks of God loves you and knows everything about you. Amen. To the deepest core. Okay? So he says, then I will fully known just as I have been fully known by God. Verse 13. And now there remain. Okay, so here comes what remains. Faith. Abiding trust in God and his promises. Faith. Hope. The confident expectation of eternal salvation. There is more to life than this. There's a lot more to life than what you see now. And the third one, love. And I love what he's put here. It's unselfish love for others growing out of God's love for me. So just that vision that Kobus shared during worship, it's not just us facing the shaking. It's not just us facing the dragon. We first of all have God behind us, the Lion of Judah, and we've got those who love us, our spiritual family that walks with us. So that's that unselfish love for others growing out of God's love for me. These three, the choicest graces, that is what remains. But the greatest of these is love. So maybe just stand with me this morning. Right, so this morning I've spoken about things in the world that's unsure. And maybe this morning you look at stuff, and we've already done the spiritual warfare thing where we say that God is with us, and we are not alone as we face the dragon that comes against us, not in this world and not in our personal lives. But maybe this morning there's some stuff that needs to be shaken. There's some stuff that needs to be stripped away. We know what remains. We know we have trust in God, faith. We know that we have eternal salvation, hope. And we know that God loves us and that we can love those around us and be loved by them as well. So we know that that's the three things that will always remain. But this morning, I just want you to sort of reflect and say, God, is there, especially if you are going through a personal shaking this morning, what is there in my life that you want to remove so that what is unshakable can stand and can stay? So God, I just pray that you will reveal to each person, even if you're anxious when you look at the world, what is it that you are putting your trust in that would make you anxious when you look at the world around you? In your own life, what is there that makes you anxious when you look at your circumstances at the moment? So I just want you to have personal conversation with God, and you say, Lord, I give all these things to you. I refuse to put my trust in whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is pointing out to you. I refuse to put my trust in my job. I refuse to put my trust in the economy. I refuse to put my trust in my knowledge, my own wisdom, my own plans. And Lord, I choose to put my trust in you. Lord, I pray that you'll remove every idol in our lives, that we will put you our one and only firm foundation, that we'll make you the person that we put our trust in, because you are worthy of our hearts, Lord. You are worthy of our lives. You are worthy of our worship. You are worthy of everything because of who you are. You, that firm, secure foundation that has been tested and that cannot be shaken. Lord, give us a renewed understanding of your love for us. And help us to show that unselfish love to those around us who is looking for answers, who does not know where to turn to. I just want to extend an invitation. I say, if you are going through a rough time, you are struggling to find a firm foundation for your feet, you're feeling like everything that you're standing on, everything is crumbling, shaking away, and you just need the love of your spiritual family to come around you and to pray with you and lift you up this morning, I want to invite you just to join us here in front so that we can pray with you and for you. So if that's you, you're welcome to come to the front. But Father, I pray this morning, I pray that as we go from here, Lord, thank you that you have called us to carry your glory, to show the answer to those around us. And even as we go towards Missions Week, Lord, give us the confidence to share this with people and a world that is desperate to find the answer. Lord, our hearts ache for those that are outside, that has nothing to hold on to. Everything they try to hold on to just crumbles away. Our hearts ache for them, Lord. They've got no anchor. They've got no foundation. Lord, stir our hearts towards going and telling them what the answer is, that you are the answer. Jesus, help us to meet those people in the place of their need, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the work that you do in renewing us. Lord, help us to have patience in the shaking as you strip away things that are not of you. Lord, help us to see that is out of love and because you want to reveal yourself in us, your glory, to fill the house in Jesus' name. Amen.